Intentions in a relationship matter, don't they? I have a confession to make. I have a hard time with salespeople. I don't think salespeople are bad, don't get me wrong. But I'm that guy that walks in the store that you don't walk up to me unless you're really confident in what you're about to try to sell. Right? I mean, I don't know what it is, but I'm always kind of leery of the intentions of salespeople when I'm in a store. You know, I don't care how much you compliment my kids, how much you smile, everything you say, I'm going to take with a grain of salt. And again, this is nothing against salespeople. This is me. This is me, not about them. Because sometimes I question whether or not the salesperson really has my best interest at heart. Now, the best salespeople are the ones who can really communicate with you and show you that they truly have your best interest at heart. Like, they really are trying to help you get what's best for you and what works for you and something you really like. And those salespeople are great. But then there's some who you can tell they're just trying to get that check. Right, I had a real estate agent several years ago that Tara and I were working with, and you know, she was a lovely person, but we could kind of tell during the process that she was kind of trying to make us hurry up and make a purchase. You know, like she was telling us, like, "All right, well, you're not going to find anything better than what I've shown you, and if you wait on buying it, the price is just going to go up." And we're sitting in her office and she's got the paperwork and she's like trying to convince us to sign the dotted, sign. And something about that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm thinking, this is not a small decision. Like, you're trying to get me to drop hundreds of thousands of dollars and you can tell I'm uncomfortable, but yet you still want me to. So from that moment on, the chemistry, the connection was gone. Like, everything she said, we didn't trust because we felt that her intentions were suspect. Intentions in a relationship matter. Have you ever been in a dating relationship and you questioned the intentions of the person that you were dating? Yeah, you don't have to say amen, but you know, you're like, mm-hmm. Yep, I've had that experience. Their intentions were either, you know, maybe they were trying to move too fast physically, or you felt like they were in the relationship with you for money. Or maybe you felt like they were in the relationship with you just so that they could say, "I have a girlfriend," or "I have a boyfriend." And as soon as you find out that their intentions are suspect, what happens to the relationship? It just falls apart. The connection is gone, because now, you know, you can't really trust everything they say, because you don't know if they're saying it for you because they're being genuine, or they're trying to get something out of you. Right? You ever hear people say, "I love you" for the wrong reasons? Oh, I'm talking today. People say, "I love you" for the wrong reasons, don't they? Sometimes. And if you know that their intentions are flawed, it messes up the relationship, right? You can't even feel safe with them. You can't really be vulnerable with them. You can't really share your heart with them because you don't know how they're going to use the information that you give them. And you don't know. It just messes everything up. Intentions in a relationship matter, because intentions, your understanding of someone's intentions and their relationship with you, will determine how close and how connected you feel to them. And the same way that intentions affect human relationships, they also affect heavenly relationships. I mean, you may even misinterpret someone's intentions and it negatively affect the relationship, like with parents and children. You know, when we were younger, you know, our mom or our dad or both of them, we used to think they were being mean, didn't we? We used to think, man, they don't care about how I feel. They're just making life difficult. They just want me to do things their way. They're just trying to control me. And then you grow up and you go, man, they were really doing their best. They were really doing their best. They really did love me. If I had only known, I would have listened. If I had only known their intentions, we would have had a better relationship if I had just known and understood their intentions. So whether the person's intentions are bad or you think they're bad, it messes up the chemistry. And the same applies in your relationship with God. You ever play the game Taboo? We're going to be playing that game on for our connection group one of the nights. Taboo. And Taboo is the game where you are holding a card and you have a team and you're trying to get your team to say the word on the top of the card. But you can't say the words below that word to get them to say the word on the top. That makes sense? So there's a word on the top you want them to say, but and you have to describe it and try to give them hints on what it is without saying the words beneath. And someone on the other team is standing behind you with a buzzer waiting for you to say the wrong word. As soon as you say the wrong word, one of the words you're not supposed to say is Some of us feel like God is like that. Like God, that's what God's intention is in our relationship with him. Like God is the one behind you with the buzzer waiting for you to do something wrong so that he can go, you did the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing. Wrong theology. Wrong doctrine. Wrong belief system. You messed up again. And tell me who could feel connected and close to someone with those kind of intentions, waiting for you to do something wrong. But we sometimes feel that way. It can be one of those tacit, unchallenged thoughts we have about God. And so your understanding, your perception of God's intentions with you matter. Because they will determine, they will have an impact, they will have an influence on how close you feel with God. And let me tell you, God doesn't want to just be a person that you believe in. There's a difference between believing in the existence of God and having a relationship with God, having a connection with God. God doesn't just want you to believe that he exists or believe that, you know, that God is in control, just the concept of God being in control. God wants you to have a connection, a bond with him. That's why everything in our relationship with God works through trust, faith. Faith is another word for trust. God wants you to trust him, and you don't trust somebody that you don't feel connected with, that you don't feel close to, that you don't have a bond with. You don't just trust anybody, right? Trust is earned. Trust is something that comes when you have a certain bond with someone, and so God wants you to have a bond with him, a bond of trust. And so the question becomes, how can we take our connection with God, our sense of bond, our sense of connection with God to another level through a more complete understanding of God's intentions in our relationship with him? Because whether you feel far from God or you feel close to God, your relationship with God can go to another level. Your connection, your bond, your sense of closeness and intimacy with God can go to another level simply by having a more complete understanding of God's intentions in your life. And so today we're going to talk about God's intentions in our lives. And Jesus highlights this again through this discourse. He's talking to his disciples. We've been in John chapter 14 for several weeks now. But Jesus has said that he's getting ready to leave. He said, I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to go to the cross and rise from the dead. And the disciples are sad. They're upset because they don't want him to leave. They feel close with Jesus and they don't want Jesus to leave. And Jesus begins to comfort them through articulating certain promises of the gospel, why it's so important that he go. And in these three verses here, verse 15, 16, and 17, Jesus gives us clearly what God's intentions are with us. And through them, let me tell you, your sense of connection with God will go to another level. So let's take a look at what he says. And all of this is connected to the sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to send the Holy Spirit. And let's look at what he says. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. He comforts them by saying, I will send you the Spirit of truth. And Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not some watered down version of God. This Holy Spirit is not God's assistant. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And Jesus says, when I go to the cross and I rise from the dead and I accomplish the work of salvation, I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. And let's just break this. Even just in this short passage, we can see how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as someone who was equal with himself and equal with God. He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, right? The Spirit of truth. And you may remember a few chapters back, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus says, I am the truth, and I'm sending you the Spirit of truth. They are equal. And he says, I am going to send you another, what? Advocate. I'm going to give you another advocate. That word for advocate comes from the Greek word parakletos. And that word parakletos is used only 5 times in the entire Bible. 4 times it's used to describe the Holy Spirit, and 1 time it's used to describe Jesus in 1 John. So when Jesus says, I'm going to send you another advocate, he's saying, I'm sending you someone who is like me. Right? Now, this word, parakletos, this word that's translated advocate, actually, if you ask most scholars, they will tell you no one translation is sufficient to describe the meaning of this word, parakletos. And they actually prefer to anglicize the word and basically create an English word using the phonetics of the Greek word. So you may have heard the word paraclete. Have you heard the word paraclete before? Paraclete is the anglicized or English word that was created to translate parakletos, because no one single translation is really sufficient to describe this word. In certain contexts, if you look at the way it's used in Scripture and the way it's used in the ancient world, it can mean advocate. It could also mean comforter. It can also mean counselor. It can also mean friend. It can also mean helper, one who comes alongside you to help. And so one translation is not really sufficient to encapsulate the meaning of this word, which is why many scholars prefer to just say the word paraclete. But rather than be focused on the meaning of this word, which describes the role and the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is multifaceted. When the Holy Spirit, when you put your trust in Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, the Holy Spirit has a multifaceted function and role in your life. This is 100% God living inside of you. And we could talk all year about just what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But rather than get focused on the function or the role of the Spirit described in this word advocate or the Greek word parakletos, I want to look at the intention of the Spirit. Who is God, remember? What is God's intention when he comes to live inside of you? What's his intention? And Jesus describes it really simply. It's kind of hiding in plain sight. He says, to be with you forever. To be with you forever. Think about that. This is the heart of God for you, the intention of God in your life, to be with you forever. Your best friend loves you. Think about your best friend, how much they love you, how much they care about you. They don't love you like this. To be with you forever. At some point, your friend will want to go home. Right? At some point, they're going to want to do something on their own. Bye-bye. I'll see you tomorrow. At some point, they're going to want to hang up the phone. I have to go. Goodbye. Your parents love you. Your mom, your dad, your love you with all their heart. Oh, how they love you. But they don't love you like this. Think about the closest, whether it was a guardian or your mom or your dad or uncle, someone who was just there for you and loves you so much. Sometimes I think the love of a mother is like the second highest love in the world. There's the love of God, and then there's the love of a mother. You think about how much your mama loves you, how she would do anything for you, and yet even she doesn't love you like this. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, you know how much you love your child. You'll do anything for them, and yet there's some times where you're like, you know what, leave me alone. Right? Sometimes I just need a moment to myself. Go play somewhere, please. Right? I used to wonder growing up, like when we'd have meals in the morning, like if my dad would make breakfast. He liked to make pancakes. And sometimes he would sit at the table and eat with us. But then there would be some days where he would make the breakfast, give it to me and my sister, and we would eat at the table, and he would go to another room and eat. And sometimes I would think, why doesn't he want to sit with us? And now I understand. As a parent, sometimes you just want to be by yourself sometimes. You don't want to answer any questions. You don't want to tell somebody to be nice. And you just want to eat alone. Right? Right? Like, you love your children, but you don't love them like this. To be with you forever. Unbroken, unceasing, on your good days, on your bad days, on the days when you feel like you can't get anything right, on the days when you feel like you're just grumpy and frustrated, you're angry, forever. Are you hearing me? Hear how powerful this is? Forever. Not until you die. Your spouse loves you, but they don't love you like this. They promised to love you till the day you die, right? And then that was it. But listen to what God is saying. I want to be with you forever. That's the first thing on my mind. It's just, I just want to be with you forever. And that is the whole point of our conversation today, is that God's intention is to be with you forever. Unconditional presence for all of time and beyond it. This is a love that is beyond anything we've ever experienced before. Every other love that you've ever experienced in your life points to this one. It is a pointer. It is meant to turn your eyes to a greater love that is beyond anything else we've ever seen or known. To be in a relationship with a God who says, I want to be with you, son, daughter, forever. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter how you feel. I want to be there. In the morning when you wake up, I'm there. When you lay your head down, I'm there. When you're sleeping, I'm there. When you're not even thinking about me, I'm there. I just want to be with you forever. And there are things that, you know, like the closest human relationships you ever have, you know, there are always kind of things that little things that turn us off from each other. You know, little things. But there's nothing with God in terms of why he would walk away from you. He will never walk away from you. And so how do we apply this powerful truth in our lives today so that in our everyday lives we can have this sense of connection with God? All right, this is what we do. And it's very simple. All right? Just acknowledge God's intention throughout your day. Just acknowledge God's intention throughout your day. When you wake up in the morning, God, I thank you that you just want to be with me today. You know? When you are in your car driving to work, God, I thank you that you just want to be with me today. When you're on your job, when you're spending time with your family, whatever you're doing, God, I thank you. You just want to be with me today. And what that does is it begins to invite God, involve God in your everyday experience. And there's something about acknowledging God's intention in your life, making yourself aware of God's intention in your life, that facilitates a deeper connection with him. So that when it comes time to trust God, when it comes time to follow him, when it comes time to follow his lead, you're not following the lead of a stranger. You're not following the lead of a concept. You're following the lead of someone who's with you all the time. When you make a mistake, when you make a big mistake, when you just royally mess up, God, I thank you that even now, you want to be with me. Because that's what he said. The Holy Spirit is here to be with you forever. Right? So why do we do this? Because being conscious of God's intention enriches your relationship. It takes your relationship from being in here to being in here. And think about what Jesus is telling his disciples. His disciples are sad because they don't want him to leave. And Jesus doesn't say, well, your feelings don't matter. You know, when you have a relationship with God, it's not about how you feel. He didn't say that, did he? He said, I'm going to send you someone just like me who's going to be with you forever. You're supposed to feel that. You hear me? You're supposed to feel that. You're supposed to feel something in your relationship with God. No, your feelings shouldn't determine your faith, but your relationship with God, you should feel something. This isn't a concept. This isn't, you know, studying something on the wall. This is something you're supposed to live. Jesus wants you to feel this. Yeah? And so it's okay to want to feel something. You know, it's okay to say, God, you just feel far right now. I don't know what you're doing. But then you say, but I thank you that you just want to be with me. Even when I feel forsaken, God, I thank you that you want to be with me. And even just acknowledging that, it does something in your soul. God, I thank you that you just want, when you're in the word, and you're studying the word, and You come across something you don't understand, you feel like, oh, this, I'm kind of getting frustrated with this right now. But God, I thank you. You just want to be with me. That what I'm doing right now has nothing, does not change anything in terms of how you feel about me. This is not a performance. I am chosen already. I am loved already. You are here and you are not going anywhere. Lord, I thank you that you just want to be with me. You see, and we can all do that. You don't have to go to a mountaintop and have a long beard and a staff to have a connection with God. And people who have a connection with God trust God. People who have a connection with God don't worry. People who have a connection with God are less afraid when things happen because they know that they know that they know God loves me and I'm going to be all right. Don't you want that? Don't you want to feel this? Don't you want to experience? Don't you want your experience of the promises of the gospel to go deeper and deeper and deeper and just change everything about your life? I mean, this is just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And this series is called A Beautiful Place. And then we're going to pray. I'm going to say this and then we're going to pray. This series is called A Beautiful Place. And the beautiful place that Jesus has been talking about all along has been this place of closeness, of intimacy with the Father. It started when he said, when I come back, I'm going to take you to myself so that where I am, you will be also. He's talking about this place of relationship. And in these three little verses, we find out that while we see our relationship with him, our presence with him as the beautiful place, he looks at you and says, you are my beautiful place. Being with you is literally a dream come true for God. Did you know that? Being with you is literally a dream come true. If you look back to the prophets, we can look through all throughout the whole Old Testament. You look at Ezekiel, when God inspired the prophet to say, I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit in you, and cause you to follow my ways. And then you go to Joel, and Joel says, there's going to be a day where I pour out my spirit on all flesh. God's been thinking about this for a long time. And then you go all the way to Revelation to the end, when it says, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the pinnacle of God's joy in this passage, it says, and finally, the dwelling of God is with men. Because you know what? God just wants to be with us. God's dream, the fulfillment of God's dream is being with you. God is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Lord, that it is a dream come true for you just to be with us. Yes, you have a role in our lives. Through your Holy Spirit, you have a role that you want to transform us, that you want to lead us and guide us. You want to teach us. You want to encourage us and comfort us. But Lord, at the end of the day, your number one intention in our lives, according to Jesus, is to be with us forever. What a love this is. Lord, help us to acknowledge that today, this week, as we're going throughout our day, that your intention has never changed, that you still want to be with us forever. Let that affect us deeply in our soul, not just in our mind, but in our heart. May we always acknowledge your intention in our lives. May that help open our hearts to you just a little bit more. May that help us to trust you just a little bit more. May that help us to experience you just a little more. So that when you call us, we're ready to answer. When you lead us, we're ready to follow. When you speak, we're ready to listen, because we know your intentions are pure and that you love us beyond anything we've ever known. So we open our hearts to you now. We acknowledge it even in this moment, right now, that you just want to be with us. As we go into this time of prayer and reflection, let that truth reside deeply in our hearts. May it change us. May it enrich our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.